Hey, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We're so thankful for you. And I'm really thankful that this morning we've got Steve Mickle here to speak to us. Steve is the supervisor of our district in Foursquare. We are of the Foursquare denomination, and he is our district supervisor. He's got this church and a couple others. 300 others that he is in charge of, and we are so thankful that he takes such good care of B4. Steve was actually, I worked with him in Bend for about 13-ish years before this. He was the lead pastor there, and I was on his team, and so Father's Day is a big day for everyone, but it's a tender day for Steve. He lost his son, I think, 8 years ago today. I remember distinctly the day, like it was yesterday, and he still agreed to come and speak with us, and that matters a lot to me because I've watched Steve walk out sorrow. Like when we sing that song, Heart of My Own Heart, Whatever Befalls, that's hard to sing that line when you've really walked through some loss, and I watched Steve and Suzanne walk this out with so much hope and grace, but also with so much honesty. Sorrow as those with no hope, but we don't hope as those with no sorrow. We have both hope and grief and sorrow. And Steve and Suzanne have been mentors to me in watching how to walk out sorrow with a faithful heart. So would you please welcome my friend and my pastor, Steve Mickle.
Thanks, Bill. Hey, everybody. It's so good to be with you today. Yeah, happy Father's Day. One of the things I enjoy about coming back to B4 is obviously to be with Bo and Cliff. And I so respect you both and how you've kind of navigated these last 94 days. As we were talking earlier, you're keeping track of how many days since your appointment and how you've done that with such grace and humility, Bo, and how you've done that with a steadiness of hand and faithfulness of heart to what Jesus is speaking to you and to this congregation. So thank you for that. And yeah, happy Father's Day. I know growing up in the church, I've been to a lot of Father's Day services and a lot of Mother's Day services. And it's funny to me, the differences typically between those 2 days at a church service. On Mother's Day, it's usually like, oh, moms, you're the best. We couldn't be here without you. And Father's Day is like, do better, guys. Let's go. So I'm not going to do that today. This is not one of those messages at all. As I was talking with your team here, we felt like it would be really appropriate if I led you in a liturgy for our fathers. And it's really something I'm not asking dads, I'm not asking you to do anything. I simply want to speak a blessing over you. And so if you're a dad in the house and you want to receive this blessing, even if you're not a dad in the house and you want to receive a blessing, this could be applicable to you as well. But would you just lift your hands up right where you're sitting here, just like you're receiving a gift. And let me read this over to you. This was written by Pastor Steve Mitchell, your very own Pastor Steve. So let me pray this over you. Many are the daily tasks a dad must do. Meet us, therefore, in our labors as fathers, O Father of all, with your provision that we might rest well with our families, with your favor that we might lay hold of our legacy, with your protection, that we might escape the snares laid for us, and with your presence, that we may not lose our way. Give us strength as we toil in the planning and the traveling and the building and the coaching through endless demands and inevitable discouragement. Grant us the wisdom of stewardship so that pursuing our daily bread does not consume the whole of our lives. High King of Heaven, the servant of all, be our inspiration and our ambition, our healer and our guide, our faithfulness and our joy. Lead us to freedom through your love, from the wounds we've suffered, from the lies we've believed, from sin that would cage us. We offer ourselves to you freely in our vocation to love our families, to care for their needs, and to share the stories of our scars and victories with those who follow. Amen. Can we thank the dads in the house? Yeah, so good. Well, I'm sitting in the worship service, last service, and God begins to stir in me, and I typically know what it means, and I never like it when he does this, but he asked me to speak on something different. than what I had prepared. And usually I'm hopeful when this happens that he'll give me something that I've already spoken somewhere else. And it wasn't that either. It was simply a word for you for this moment that I felt begin to bubble up inside of me. And I kind of made my way in the last service. I had about 30 minutes in between services to kind of get with Jesus and say, okay, Lord, what exactly do you want to say? So I'm thankful you're here. You should be thankful you're at this service and didn't come to the last service, because that was pretty raw and unfiltered. This will still be raw and unfiltered, but it's not in my comfort zone. I only tell you that because I'm worried what you think of me. So it's just like, God help me to hear what you want to say and to speak what you want to say. As Bo mentioned, this day, I knew it was Father's Day, and I felt compelled to be here on Father's Day, Bo, but I hadn't put two and two together that it was June 16th in particular. It's 8 years to the day of our son's passing, and he died in a one-car accident 8 years ago. And so Father's Day, it happened right before Father's Day. It actually happened on a Thursday before the Sunday of Father's Day when it happened. And so Father's Day has this weird kind of grief and celebration. I have three other sons that still live in the area in Central Oregon near us, and we have such a vibrant relationship. And so Father's Day is on one hand a real like joy and you know, look at what I've produced, you know, kind of feel to it, and then also look at what I've lost as well. I felt as the Lord was kind of depositing into me in the last service what he wanted me to share with you. I really felt like he wanted me to focus on the heart of a father, but I don't want to focus on your heart as a father. It's important. I'm not diminishing that, but I want to focus on the heart of our Father in heaven. Because what happens, what I've realized, and I've seen this in my own journey over the years, is that most of us, I can say that most of us have an awkward relationship with our spiritual father, mostly because we all have differing relationships with our earthly fathers. Some not at all, some very abusive, some from a distance, and then others who have a great relationship with their dads. But for the vast majority of people I've talked with, when we talk about God as Father, it's a struggle to try to see him as that, to have a relationship with God as Father. Jesus, we have no problem with Jesus. Jesus, he's a brother to us, whether you're a woman or a man. It's like, it's easy to have a relationship with Jesus because just like, I get him. He gets me, you know? What is that commercial? He gets us, you know? I mean, he really does. He's lived in our shoes. He's taken on our pain and our suffering. He's acquainted with our grief, as the author of Hebrews writes, right? So there's something easier about having a relationship with Jesus. But then when we talk about our Father, there's a distance, a separation. And knowing Jesus as well as I think I do, I want to tell you from the heart of Jesus that he wants you to have an intimate relationship with his dad. He wants you to have a relationship with his father like he had with his father in heaven. He wants us to press through the awkwardness and the misunderstanding and putting onto him the kind of relationships we have with our earthly fathers. And he's wholly other. He's separate from. And aren't you thankful he's not an earthly father. He's a spiritual father. He's a heavenly father. He stands above all of this. And he has something to say to us about his heart for us. My relationship with the Father in heaven was radically and has been radically shaped by my own suffering of losing a son. And so I'm gonna speak out of that place of what I've learned in some ways about our Father in heaven as a result of my suffering. But I'll try not to spend all my time talking about suffering, but it shows up because it's part of my journey. But if you have a Bible, because it's not going to be on the screen, because I didn't know I was going to preach from Romans today, so there's nothing on the screen. Old school. You got a phone? Download YouVersion if you haven't already, and open up to Romans chapter 8. And there's a few verses. We're just going to walk through it together, kind of old school, verse by verse, and look at what Jesus has to say to us. This is all that I felt like the Lord wanted me to say in the last service that kind of led me to here was this. This passage and a father's heart. That's all he gave me. And so I've just been kind of trying to hear his spirit as we walk together through this. And so Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And so I just like that. This is the essence of if we're going to look at our heavenly Father as a father, we have to see ourselves first and foremost as children. And that's difficult for us because we grow up and become adults. It would actually be easier if we just stayed as children all the way through until we die. And then that relationship with God, I'm just a child, but we become responsible. We got to put food on the table. We got to pay bills. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to hold down a job. We got to do all of these things. And so we start seeing ourselves not as children. And imagine like, imagine your childhood self today. My therapist calls him Little Stevie. So whenever I go into therapy, he says, let's talk about Little Stevie. I'm like, okay, let's talk about my childhood. So, but there's something that we need to get back to in our relationship with the Father of dependency, of I actually can't live without you. Our children are dependent upon us, aren't they? They need us. I mean, I haven't seen a 5-year-old work in Walmart yet. I mean, it's not happening, right? They need us, right? And yes, we want them to grow up and eventually get jobs and take responsibility. But do you see how we can end up losing something in that process of how we see ourselves in relationship to God? I'm not the leader. I'm not the one in charge. I'm not the one who others are dependent upon in that relationship. I am wholly, fully dependent upon him as a child would be to a parent. When Chase died, I threw myself at the feet of the Father because there was nothing that this world could offer me to give me any measure of hope. Or assurance, or strength, or to keep walking. There is nothing in this world that could offer that. I threw myself like a little child at the feet of a father, and I was like, I need you. I can't breathe without you. I can't live without you. I can't eat. Without you, bread of life. Jesus talked about the bread of life, that he has bread that we do not know of. And it's just this relationship, this dependency upon the Father that we can't have until we see ourselves again as children. To remind ourselves constantly that we are first and foremost a child of God. That's where my identity begins. I am so many other things. But I'm first and foremost a child of God. And as a result of that, I relate to him as a child with a father. So for those who are led by the Spirit of God, you are the children of God. In verse 15, the Spirit you received as a result of being a child of God, as a result of having that relationship with him, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. It's interesting, the kind of the language that Paul's using here is that he's talking about how we're bound to this earth. We're bound to this flesh, that it rules over us. You know, that's why he talks about don't follow the urges of the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. And there's this constant tension, and Paul is getting at this idea that this as you walk in this child of God identity, what it does, what it can help you with, is to disengage from this world in a healthy way, that I'm not dependent upon this. I'm not bound to this any longer. I've been set free. I've been set free from the sin that rages inside of me still to this day. I'm free from it. I'm free from I'm free even from death. And that's weird. That sounds strange, doesn't it? But when I leave this body, I don't cease to exist. I continue to live, you know? So I'm not bound anymore. I'm not bound by this. There's freedom in that. But that comes as a result of our realizing that we are children of God and that we have a Father in heaven. And so we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in fear, like, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what's going to be like when I pass away. You know, we don't have to live in fear. There is no fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And the Father in heaven is perfect love. See, we think of Jesus, right, as perfect love. It's easy for us to see Jesus as someone who fully loves us, who's willing to give his life for us. Where do you think that love came from? It's shared between him and the Father and the Spirit. It's this one love that is directed towards us. The Father has that for us, just as Jesus does. Rather, the Spirit you received, instead of bondage and fear, you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And you have to forgive Paul here for his use of language. It was a very, very patriarchal society. And so whenever you're thinking about adoption, you're always thinking about sons, you know. You know, when I've been to Uganda a few times and I tell them I have four sons, they're like, oh, you're so blessed. And I'm like, you know, if I had four daughters, I think I would be equally blessed. Come on, somebody say amen to that, right? I mean, you know, but we have this history in our world of kind of patriarchy. And so don't get distracted by that. Because in essence, what he's saying, the core of what he's saying is that you've been adopted. You've been embraced. You've been fully grafted in. I haven't been adopted, but I have many friends. Years ago, I spoke on adoption in the church in Bend, and I remember talking to people and interviewing people who had been adopted, and there's vast experiences, right? It's not always healthy. We know that, but the people I talked to, they had wonderful experiences of being adopted, and their sense of like being part of, chosen, like. You know, I didn't get to choose my four sons. They just showed up, right? But when you adopt someone, you choose them. And there's something really powerful about that, that I think is important for us as we think about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. None of us are biologically born into the Heavenly family. We are all adopted into it, chosen by him, grafted in. He's like, he sees us and he says, I want you in my family. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to be my son or my daughter. Isn't that beautiful? And again, you gotta be careful that you don't put the constraints of this earthly way that we do adoption and foster care and all those things that have a tendency to be broken systems. Don't put that on a Father in heaven. He's pure in his desire to have relationship with you and oneness with you and to adopt you as part of his own. And so we've been adopted through the Spirit, and by him, I love this, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We don't use that word Abba. It's a great band, but we don't use it in our general speech. And The Chosen, I don't know if any of you have seen the series, The Chosen. I'm not a huge Christian television guy, but I've been like sucked into this series. And Jesus, that's the phrase that Jesus and his disciples use often in The Chosen as a term of endearment for the Father in heaven, is an Abba, Abba, Father. And when you get to it, it is a term of endearment. It's this, when you dig into it, it's this relational, like title. It's, you know, it's not capital F Father, you know, it's Daddy. Papa might be another word. It's this love relationship that Jesus had with Abba, Daddy, Papa. And it's this beautiful thing. And I mean, I can tell by the way you're looking at me that most of you haven't experienced that kind of relationship with the Father. It's foreign to us. You know, it's easy to be, you know, bros with Jesus, man, he gets me. But man, the Father, my daddy. And I can tell you from personal experience that I didn't need a father. When Chase died, I needed a daddy. I needed someone above this world to sit with me in this world and weep with me and love me and wrap his arms around me. And I could weep on his chest, and I needed that kind of a dad. Not an earthly one. I needed a spiritual one. Because, I mean, earthly fathers, and my dad was great. He's passed away, but he's amazing. And but there's some things that are hard for us in our brokenness to carry with others sometimes. And so for me in that space, I needed a spiritual father to sit with me. I'm telling you way more than I intended to. My therapist would be so proud of me right now. You totaled an entire church? Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There's affirmation that comes along with this, a sense of like, yeah, this is right. This is what I've always longed for. I love what C.S. Lewis said. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. This idea this desire that I have for a relationship with a heavenly father, once you begin to have that, your spirit testifies, oh, this is what I've been longing for. This is what my soul has needed. Verse 17, now if we are children, then we are heirs. This is where it gets really good. This is where it gets really exciting. This is where the potential is limitless. When you start to think about like, I'll just be honest, my dad didn't leave me much. I mean, I just gotta be honest with you. He was a pastor, you know. He left me a Bible. It's really meaningful, but it's just, you know, what's it gonna do for me, you know? And so when we think about heirs, when we think about what do we pass on to our children, think about God. God, Paul uses this language that we are heirs with Christ. We are like, we get what Jesus got. We have at our disposal, we have access to all the riches, Ephesians chapter 1, all the riches of God's glory. It's like evident in our lives. We can have it. When I pray, you know, Lord, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm fully confident God's gonna provide for me. It's not gonna be easy sometimes, and we'll get to that in just a second, but I have this confidence that I'm an heir with Christ, that the fullness of who God is dwells in Jesus, and because I've invited Jesus into my life, I have access to all that, the power of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the faithfulness of God, the fruitfulness of this, the fruits of the Spirit. I have access to all of this. We are heirs with Christ, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed, let's just skip this one. Let's skip this passage because this is where we talk about suffering. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Most people most young people decide to not follow Jesus. The primary reason, among many reasons, but the primary reason is they can't justify, if God is a good God, why does he allow suffering? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard people say this in your life that it's like, yeah, I just can't get over that. I mean, you know, he allows natural disasters to happen. He allows horrible things like Steve's son to die. I mean, if he's so good, if he's such a good father, why does he allow stuff like this? And I'm not here to give you like all the answers to that cosmic dilemma. But what I have found in my own life is that there is something that there's something in my relationship with my father that I can't experience without suffering. There's a depth of relationship, a depth of intimacy. Jesus said it this way. He said, unless a seed dies and goes into the ground, it cannot produce fruit. There's some connection, and this is bigger than all of us, I think our minds can even imagine. There's some connection to suffering and fruitfulness. There's some connection, and even Paul is saying it here, sharing in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. There's something powerful about walking through suffering in this world that on one hand detaches us from being so dependent on this world. Listen, because of my suffering, I am like, the world ain't all that anymore. You know what I'm saying? I don't put all my eggs in that basket. That's why I'm seeking an eternal relationship, one that will last beyond this world. So suffering in that way detaches me, but then it could also be the catalyst for experiencing the glory of resurrection. I mean, I'm convinced that when I pass from this life to the next, which I'm not afraid of, by the way, I'm not eager for either, but that was the message I was gonna preach to you today, that from Philippians. Anyway, I know that I will be rewarded for the suffering that I've endured. I know it. Why do I know it? Because Jesus was rewarded for the suffering he endured. And we share together, both in his sufferings and in his glory. So I consider, verse 18, I consider that our present, and we can have the music guy come back up. Josh, I think is his name, the music guy. Listen to me. Oh my gosh. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, which might actually come as a result of our suffering. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But here's the thing that... For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. And you might be thinking, that's the problem. How can a father subject us to suffering? Have you ever thought, like, why would the father ask Jesus to go to the cross? How could a good father ask his son to die a brutal death on a cross? How could a good father do that? And my response now after my own journey is that he knew what was on the other side. Jesus knew what was on the other side. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew what was on the other side. They had this confidence that this is only momentary. The suffering that I'm asking you to endure will pave the way for others to experience what's on the other side of our pain, the glory. The glory and the riches of a relationship with a father who loves us is on the other side of our pain. Well, I want to finish with a story that really ministered to me. And my wife always says, whenever I recommend a movie, it's dangerous because you can't recommend movies because you never know what's inside of them. And like, oh no, some people are gonna be offended. And so I say this, Good Will Hunting is not for everyone. And there's some rough topics and language that are used in there. But it was several months after Chase died and I'm watching this movie, Matt Damon, who's a broken, brilliant, broken individual, and Robin Williams, who's his therapist. and they're meeting together often, and he's just this wall, you know. And for months, I was numb. I didn't let anyone in, my wife in, my children in. I was just shut off emotionally, and certainly didn't let God in. And then I'm watching this movie. It's just this silly little movie, and there's this scene where Robin Williams, and if you've seen it, you'll recognize it, this scene where Robin Williams gets to this point in the conversation with Damon, and he's like, it's not your fault. And Matt, his character, is like, yeah, I know it's not my fault. And Robin's like, no, it's not your fault. He keeps taking a step forward towards Damon. And there's this point where Damon pushes Robin, just pushes him. Like, I don't want this. And what Robin does, and when he does this, the Holy Spirit like just envelops me and says, this is what the Father is doing with you right now. He is slowly, gently moving towards you and just letting you know it's not your fault. I love you. I love you. It's not your fault. I love you. And it ends up, this scene ends up with them embracing, and Matt just, you know, kind of lets it all out. And I remember thinking about this, and I remember thinking about how I never saw God the Father as someone who keeps pressing in, who is gentle about it, but he so desperately wants a relationship with us, and Jesus has made access. He's given us access to it because of what he's done, right? And it's like this open door, like. And so from that moment on, it hasn't always been easy, but I keep letting the Father in. And I keep letting him embrace me in my brokenness and my sorrow and my grief. I keep inviting his presence. When I pray the Lord's Prayer almost every day for the last, 3 years now, and with some other prayers, and I pray it intentionally because Jesus told us, when you pray, pray this way. That's what he said. When you pray, pray this way. And how does he start the prayer? Pray to me, pray in Jesus' name. I mean, he talks about that in other places, but in this way, in this prayer where he says, when in answer to the question, when the disciples asked him, teach us to pray, Jesus say, when you pray, pray this way. And I think he did it because he knew that we would forget. In the way our life is and the relationship with our earthly fathers, we would stop praying this way. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray this, our Father. My daddy, my papa, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. If you know it, say it with me. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. I want to ask you today, and maybe with your eyes closed, heads bowed, would you open your heart to the Father today? And I know that might bring up pain and heartache and confusion and uncertainty and fear. Would you press in? Would you press through that? And would you invite the Father, Abba, Daddy, Papa, would you invite him close? Maybe for some of you, this is the first time you've ever considered God the Father and having a relationship with him through Christ. Would you press in and say, I want to believe. I want to have a relationship with you. God, I want to have a relationship with you like Jesus had a relationship with you. And so I press in, Father. Thank you for your love for us. Father, thank you that you were willing to give up the most important thing to you so that we could have relationship with you, knowing what was on the other side, that there was glory, that there was victory, that there was resurrection. And Lord, I pray for every single soul here and those that are watching online, Jesus, that there would be on the other side of this prayer, Lord, they would experience something more of your glory, of victory, of resurrection, as they open their hearts up to you, Father God, that they would experience a newness of relationship with you, a vibrancy in their relationship with you, that, Father, you would pour out your abundance upon them, your faithfulness would be evident to them, that your goodness and your kindness and your mercy would flow over them, I pray, as a father, a good father would do with their children. We thank you for your fatherhood. We thank you for your love. Amen.
Would you stand with me and thank Steve for sharing with us this morning? Thank you, Steve. So good. If you're here and you'd love to be prayed for, you want to just touch base with someone, the prayer team will be down front. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, just be a safe place to land if you need one. Also, be here next week. I'm really excited about what God wants to speak next weekend. Also, we'll be taking a donation for a new preaching table, which broke when Abby brought it up. My husband said, she's supposed to drop the mic, right? It's not the table. If you'd like to receive the final blessing, would you put your hands out? May you be men and women who understand the love of a good, good father. May you let that love sink deep into the soil of your soul and do the work that it's intended to do, to bring life from death and beauty from ashes and hope from sorrow. In the name of the one who died to set us free, we all said amen. We love you so much. Happy Father's Day, dads. Go have the best barbecue of your life. We'll see you next weekend.